Life for you tonight, take your Bible, turn to the book of Malachi, chapter number 3. Book of Malachi, chapter number 3. I want to read 6 verses here, starting in verse number 7. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 7. One of the things I really appreciate about our country in a time like this is there's a lot of jokes floating around. There's a lot of different things that, you know, people can laugh a little bit about, and that's tremendous. And I'm glad that there are folks who have a sense of humor about some things. Some of you might appreciate, some of you might not. I don't know. But anyways, it's unusual times in which we live, and we got to laugh at something. Amen. One of the first things you can laugh at in the morning is when you look in the mirror. That'll just take all the excitement of the rest of the day off. Anyway, Malachi chapter 3, verse number 7. Says, even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yea, ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Let us pray tonight. Father, thank you that we can have in our hands the Word of God. We thank you that we can come to it, find guidance and help. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would just speak to our hearts concerning this great topic. We pray for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things we find when we go to the Old Testament is a lot of Christians, they say, well, that was written for the Jew, and they are absolutely right. But the truths that are there can certainly be applied in our lives. Matter of fact, when you go to the New Testament, you find out that it goes back and refers to so many things that's in the Old Testament. And one of the things we're looking at here tonight is a passage that oftentimes preachers, including myself, have referred to when teaching about tithing. Now, there's some folks that say, well, tithing is not a New Testament. I would have you to remember that Jesus, when he was talking to the Pharisees, he said, ye tithe anise and mint. And he says, these things ought ye to have done. But there were more weighty things that they ought to be doing. And so what's he telling us? It's a good thing. When we look here, we only refer so many times to verses 8, 9, and 10, where it starts off, will a man rob God? And yet I believe that we disregard sometimes, I know I have, the context in which it is. First of all, the message or the burden of this book was the carelessness, the sin, the compromise both by people and the spiritual leadership in Israel that had been restored by God. Now, this prophecy looks or foretells the preparing of messengers prior to both advents of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the immediate context that we have read tonight, beginning in verse number 7, is the seeking of God for their return to Him. I believe that would still be true today, that God would like to see our nation, return unto Him. There was a time when we called the United States of America a Christian nation. And it was because so many people believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not so sure that that is true today in some respects, but thank God for the privilege we have to still meet together well, not tonight, and to be able to proclaim the marvelous gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As with several other places in this book, there's a hypothetical question that is asked. And that question we find is, how can this be done? So if you notice here, he says in verse 7, from the days of your fathers you're gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them, return unto me and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. And then we have this rhetorical question, but ye said, wherein shall we return? And so here's a hypothetical question, is asking how this was to be done. Now, God's method of caring for the Levites, the priests, and in our days, the pastors and teachers, is by the giving of God's people. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14, a verse that I took literally many years ago. We'd started the church. I was working full-time, supporting my family. And we came to the spot that one day I was reading my Bible, and I came across this verse, and it stuck to me so much. And I went and put in my notice and started full-time at church, almost full-time poverty is the word I'm looking for. But the Bible says, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. And so this is God's method for taking care of his preachers, his people, back in the Old Testament, of course, the Levites and the priests. What this particular context is trying to get across to us is that God is very hard at their selfishness with what he has given them. He calls it, matter of fact, in these verses, robbery. And then we find that he curses them as a result of that robbery. Interesting as we look at it. Notice he says, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now there's three declarations of God's goodness to those that will return to him in this manner. The first one we find in verse number 10, and that is, that God will open the windows of heaven. He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, and be me meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. So first of all, he says, I will open the windows of heaven. Secondly, it tells us in verse number 11, he will rebuke the devourer. Now, we know that is referring to Satan, who is the destroyer, as he's called back in the book of Revelation. And he says he will rebuke him. In other words, Satan would like to see you destroyed one way or another. And he will rebuke him. I've taken this in another light at times. When I've been faithful to God and give, he's made sure that there were things that could have broken that didn't, and if it did, I had the money to repair them, those kinds of things. He rebukes the devourer. And then notice verse number 12. I believe he's saying to them, it will make them a testimony to the nations. All nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Now today we know there's a loathing of the Jew. There's a great deal of anti-Semitism around our world. We find it in our own nation. And perhaps some of that is because the Jew has not practiced this as they ought to have done so. I want us tonight to consider something just a little more deeply. And that has to do with verse number 10, and opening the windows of heaven. Opening the windows of heaven. But I want to go one step farther, keeping them open. So I ask the question, first of all, what do open windows do? What do open windows do? You know, with our well-sealed houses, there is stale air. And our houses need some circulation. Matter of fact, some new homes, because they are so sealed, they actually make ways that the air can be circulated within the house from without. That air within that house doesn't have any sunlight to reinvigorate it. And it doesn't have the capability of being outside to allow the oxygen content to increase as a result of being exposed to plant life. You did know that plants breathe in, if we can put it that way, carbon dioxide, and they breathe out oxygen. We breathe in the oxygen and breathe out the carbon dioxide. And so we make an exchange with that constantly. We find that many diseases are resultant of stagnant air as it fills with more germs. We find today a lot of people wiping down hard surfaces and with sterile wipes. They never change their air filters nor open the doors and windows of their house to allow it to, can we use the word, air out. And the air becomes stagnant. And so what do we find that windows do? Well, they allow for fresh air circulation. Or something else. And I'm sure you could think more than I've thought of. But open windows allow for the transfer of goods. We have in our church a number of our folks that work in banks. Some of them work in different areas, but some of them are in the teller's window. And we think of the teller's window, it's a place where goods are exchanged. When I started the church, I worked for a trucking industry, and there were doors the truck would back up to, and the goods would be taken out and goods put back in. And there'd be open exchange through that door. We could call it a window. And so I believe what God's trying to say to us, that if we would be careful to give unto God what is His, because the tithe belongs to the Lord, He will return it with interest. Notice what it says in verse number 10. We need to take the word of God literally and let God just do some things in our lives. He says, I will open you the windows of heaven, in the midst of the verse, and pour you out a blessing. And here's this last phrase, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Won't have room enough to receive it. That's what God has promised to you and to me. So He is allowing for the transfer of goods. But I go one step farther tonight, and I would say that windows also provide a means of protection. The window within the storehouse being a place of protection from which distribution could be made to His servants. And the failure to transport needed goods meant that the priests wouldn't eat and the people would be at the hands of the devourer, Satan. And so it provides for us a means of protection. And marvelous as it is, there's some interesting thoughts that I have about hoarding our finances. That's a word being used right now, isn't it? And people are worried about having enough toilet paper when they ought to be worried about whether they're going to heaven if they die. Much more important, don't you think? And yet we're so worried about and people going in and stocking up on so many different things and what have you. And by the way, mostly because they have a fear. And that fear is generated because they don't have a real faith in God to take care of them through trying times. But I think about a few things about hoarding our finances. One of those is, it shows our heart. It shows our heart. Book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. I didn't understand this verse for years because I didn't read it right. It says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And I always looked at it and thought, where my heart is where my treasure will be. That's not what it says. It says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's interesting as we consider those finances that God gives to us. I believe also another thought about hoarding our finances, it makes it impossible to love God fully. Think about it for a moment. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, probably a very familiar verse to you. It says, no man can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one, love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon referring to riches. And he says, you're going to hate one and love the other. And so if we have a love of money, which by the way is the root of all evil, then it makes it impossible for us to love God fully. And so the person who has a giving heart and make sure that they actually share what God has given to them, it's marvelous the love that is shown. I think of something else, and I think of it especially in the time we live right now. It robs us in a time of need. When you and I want to hoard something, when we have need, you know, it's going to run out pretty soon. I don't care what kind of stockpile you have, it's going to run out. But God's stockpile never does. Let me remind you of a story back in the Old Testament. I'm going to read several verses. And it's about the prophet Elijah. And the Bible says, and as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die." She's run out of what she's going to have. Listen to what Elijah said. "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake." You know what the next word is? First. "Make me a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after, make for thee and for thy son." Now, a lot of folks would say, "Well, boy, that takes a lot of nerve." No, he's trying to show her something very important that we need to understand. And we'll go on and we can see that. It says, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, near the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. What did she do? She obeyed his word, and she gave out of that which was going to be her last meal, and God provided many, many more meals. Great truth there. And sometimes we rob ourselves in a time of need because we want to hoard it unto ourselves. I remember years ago, I have a great aunt. Her name was Annie. And we were in a church service. The only time I ever remember being in church with her, she knew the Lord, she loved God. And she was kind of an unusual lady. I wish I had gotten to know her more. But we were in church service, and they had communion that particular Sunday. And after the communion, their normal thing was to take an offering for those who would be in need. Now, you got to understand, she had a very limited income. We're talking about 60 years ago, and she pulled out a $20 bill and put it in that offering plate. My uncle saw that, and really it bothered him. And I can understand why it bothered him. And matter of fact, he went and told the preacher he ought to give that back to her, and I don't remember what took place, but she, out of her penury, wanted to give, knowing God would take care of her. She had seen that all of her life, and God took care of her, by the way, for 97 years. And what a great testimony she had. And so many times we find ourselves robbing ourselves in a time of need because we want to hoard. I'm thankful for people who have a giving spirit and people who want to share and to be a part of other people's lives, not only in church but in other places as well. What a marvelous thing that is. Well, we're going to have a word of prayer. I'm going to ask Chad to come. He's got a couple of prayer letters to read tonight. As I mentioned earlier, please pray especially for our missionaries because of some trying times for them, especially those who are on the foreign field, is what do we do next? Many of them are just hunkered down and One of the missionaries that I got a letter and should have went out to you. They had enough food for another week, and they were just praising God they had that. Oh, what takes place we don't know, but God will bless them because they have that kind of giving heart. So let's have prayer though. Father, thank you so much for a time to look in your Word and to find some truth. Lord, what a blessing it is that I've had the experience to be able to tithe and give of offerings for all of my saved life. It's been marvelous to see you make true in my life these verses that we find here. And Lord, I pray that you would help each of us to understand that it's really not a gimmick, but something that God wants to bless and to work in our lives, that we might have our faith built and our love for you shown. We pray for your blessing now in Christ's name. Amen.